So who deserves worship? Who should you submit before? What should you do, O people, when Allah is the one who has created you, who has created the skies and the earth, who causes the night to take over the day, who causes the day to follow the night, who has subjected the sun and the moon and the stars, to whom belongs all of the creation and all authority, who is the source of continuous goodness? What should you do, O people, when you know that you are His creation and you are under His command? Allah Himself tells us what to do. He says, "Udu'u rabbakum tadarru'an wa khufya." Call upon your Lord with humble beseeching and in concealment. Udu'u rabbakum. Du'a dal 'ain waw, du'a yad'u is to call upon. And here, udu'u rabbakum means worship your Lord, because du'a is ibadah. It is the essence of worship. And du'a over here is not only worship, but it is also du'a al-mas'ala, meaning call upon Allah for your needs. And He put forth your requests, your supplication, before who? Before Allah, and only Allah. Why? Because He is your Rabb. He is the one who owns the entire creation, and He is the one who has all authority. So this is why, call upon your Lord. And when He is the one who created you, and is constantly providing for you, then you should worship Him. Take His name as you should. How? تَضَرُّعًا وَخُفْيَةً. تَضَرُّعًا from ضَاد رَاعَيْن, and خُفْيَة from خَا فَا يَا. So تَضَرُّع means humility, in which a person expresses their neediness and their weakness, and they bear in mind the greatness of the one whom they are showing humility to. So when you call upon Allah, the way that you call upon Allah should reflect humility. The words you choose should reflect humility. The tone you use should reflect humility. And the manner in which you call upon Allah should show that you are calling upon the one who is perfect in His majesty, perfect in His power, extremely merciful. اُدْعُوا رَبَّكُمْ تَضَرُّعًا. Because, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ أَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. All of you are poor before Allah. You are in need of Allah. So call upon your Lord with humility. And وخفيا. خفيا, خفا is to conceal. ما تخفونا, right? To conceal. You need to not make something public. So خفيا means privately, in such a way that people don't hear what you are saying. Or while concealing, meaning in private, so that people don't know that you are calling upon Allah. Any, yes, it is okay for you to worship Allah in front of other people, but you should also worship Allah in private. Hide your acts of worship from people, meaning keep them a secret between yourself and your Lord. And when it comes to dua, call upon Allah quietly, privately, any, without being loud and without being public. Why? This brings a number of benefits. One benefit is that when you call upon Allah, when you worship Allah in private, then this will keep your intentions sincere. This doesn't mean that it is prohibited to make dua in public or that it is prohibited to worship Allah in front of other people. That's not what it means, because it's well known that, like, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says regarding charity that if you إِن تُبْدُوا الصَّدَقَاتِ فَنِعِمَّاهِ, if you openly give sadaqah, then that is excellent. But وَإِن تُخْفُوهَا وَتُؤْتُوهَا الْفُقَرَاءَ, if you conceal it when you're giving it to the poor, then that is better for you. Right? So certain acts of worship should be public so that people know that yes, you worship Allah. But voluntary acts of worship especially, they should be done privately. Why? Because it protects you from riya. It preserves your intention. And especially when it comes to dua, then there is another benefit when you make dua privately, because then you can call upon Allah without any fear of judgment from people, and you can really express yourself comfortably before Allah. So, udu'u rabbakum tadarru'an wa khufiyatan. And khufiyatan here also means softly, as in not loudly. Okay? And you don't have to shout out, you don't have to yell out when you're making dua. So, the ulama say that تَضَرُّعًا وَخُفْيَةً means that you call upon Allah with hope and fear. Okay? with humility, as in with hope, and privately. Why? Because you're afraid. Okay, so with hope and fear. Or تضرعاً وخفيةً means with humility and sincerity. Because the reason why Allah tells us to make it private is to make our worship sincere. And if you think about it, تضرع can also mean your physical condition when you're calling upon Allah, meaning your physical condition should show humility in the way that your face is, in the way that your eyes are, that you're looking down, you are at the verge of crying, your hands are raised up, right? Your facial expressions show a great deal of humility, right? So this is, tadarrur reflects your physical condition, and khufya is about the condition of your heart, all right? That in your heart, you are sincere, and that you are calling upon Allah alone. So calling upon Allah, khufyatan, is, it strengthens iman, all right? It also increases in sincerity. It enables you to call upon Allah confidently, right? Without fear of judgment from people. It also helps you feel closer to Allah. And it also shows that you are cutting off from people and only connecting with Allah, placing all your hope in Allah. So, ادعوا ربكم تضرعا وخفية. Allah says, إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُعْتَدِينَ. Indeed, the fact is that Allah does not like those who transgress. Al-mu'tadin, plural of al-mu'tadi, the one who transgresses. Meaning Allah does not like those people who transgress, who cross proper boundaries in anything. Even in dua. Even in dua. What could be irtida in dua? How could a person be a transgressor when calling upon Allah? This could be in a number of ways. One form of irtida in dua is that a person asks Allah for what is not appropriate. Like, for example, a person makes dua, "Oh Allah, allow me to live eternally in the world. Oh Allah, allow me to not die. Make me eternal in this world." Or, "Oh Allah, grant me a position even higher than that of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." This is irtida. This is transgression. You do not ask Allah for what is not befitting, for what is not appropriate. Another form of irtida is that a person calls upon someone other than Allah. Okay? This is also irtida. Or that a person calls upon Allah very loudly. In a narration, we learned that once the companions, while they were traveling with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, some of them were raising their voices as they said, "Allahu Akbar." So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Well, people, be kind to yourselves. And you don't have to yell so much because you're not calling upon the one who is deaf or the one who is absent. No. Allah hears you. The one whom you call upon is Sami'un Qareeb. He hears you and he is near you. So you do not have to yell. You do not have to raise your voice so much to call upon Allah." So to make dua very loudly, such that a person is yelling, shouting, this is irtida. Another form of irtida is that when a person is hurt or a person is angry at someone, they curse them or they invoke Allah's curse against them, even though they're not deserving of it, or they pray for their destruction, even though they're not deserving of it. Like, for example, some parents, when they get upset with their children, they say very harsh things. And they begin to pray against their own children in front of them in order to hurt them, in order to take some kind of revenge from them. And this is not okay. How is it that a mother or a father themselves, if they're upset with their children, are praying against their children? "May you never see happiness. May God never show you happiness. May you never have children. May you have children that make your life miserable for you the way you're making my life miserable. May you never succeed." Is this really something that parents should be praying for against their own children? This is irtida. Yes, you are the father. Yes, you are the mother. Allah has given you a certain status, but you do not abuse that status. You do not misuse the position that Allah has given you. This is irtida. So, innahu la yuhibbul mu'tadin. Another form of irtida is that a person does not call upon Allah, stops calling upon Allah. This is also going to an extreme, that a person has despaired or a person does not believe. This is not correct. Allah does not like the transgressors. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَلَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ بَعْدَ إِصْلَاحِهَا. And do not cause corruption upon the earth after its reformation. What a beautiful thing Allah is teaching us over here. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the earth such that everything in it is with islah. Meaning everything is fixed, is proper. All right, the way that it should be. So now, you do not corrupt the earth. You do not disturb the balance of the earth. So do not cause corruption in the earth. How is corruption caused in the earth? Through acts of disobedience. Because sins cause corruption. Okay, sins corrupt people's akhlaq, people's manners, people's actions, and then they also cause disturbance in sustenance. Like, for example, due to the sins of people, sometimes they're deprived of rain. And when they're deprived of rain, then what happens? It's not just the people that suffer. It's the plants, it's the animals, it's entire ecosystems. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ar-Rum, ayah 41, that ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ, that corruption has spread in land and sea because of what the hands of people have earned. Meaning because of the actions of people, because of their own crimes. What has happened? Corruption has spread on land and sea. And this is so true. And when you see all over the earth, where is that place on earth where you can go and say that yes, it is in its pure condition? You go to any forest, you go to, subhanAllah, even the most coldest areas, even the tops of glaciers, right? You'll see that people have caused fasad. And because of that, what is happening? Entire ecosystems are being wiped out, subhanAllah. Any animal species are going extinct. So remember that the earth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, this is not just for us. It is for other creatures as well. In Surah Ar-Rahman, verses 7 to 10, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that وَالْأَرْضَ وَضَعَهَا لِلْأَنَامِ. The earth, Allah has set it in place for who? For the creatures. Meaning not just for you, but for all the creatures on the earth. So it is not correct that, for example, we go and completely wipe out an entire forest, and now the creatures that used to live there have no trees to feed off of, to live on, to shelter in. This is very wrong. Or that we drain chemicals into waterways and then all the animals die in it, all the fish die in it. So remember, وَالْأَرْضَ وَضَعَهَا لِلْأَنَامِ. So وَلَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ بَعْدَ إِصْلَاحِهَا وَدْعُوهُ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا. And call upon him with fear and hope. Allahu Akbar. Call upon Allah with fear and hope. Why fear and hope? Because with both, there is a perfect balance. If you call upon Allah only with fear, then you can actually despair of his mercy. Right? And if you go only with hope, then you could become negligent towards your sins. So call upon him with hope. And he, be hopeful. وَدْعُوهُ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا. First, خَوْف. Fear. Why? Fear of his punishment. And tamar, hope. Of what? Of his reward. Or khawf, fear of your dua being rejected. And tamar, hope, meaning of its acceptance. So, wad'uhu khawfan wa tamara. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, inna rahmatallahi qareebun minal muhsinin. Indeed, the mercy of Allah is ever near to those who do ihsan. Subhanallah. Inna rahmatallahi qareebun minal muhsinin. The ulama say that rahma over here means rain, or it can mean any form of mercy, right? The favors of Allah. It is close to who? Those who do ihsan. So those who do ihsan in their worship, they call upon Allah as though they see Allah. And that means with fear and hope, with humility, and with adab, with proper respect, then Allah's mercy is near. Meaning very soon, Allah will grant you what you are asking for. Allah will accept the dua of those who do ihsan. And also, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in this ayah that do not cause corruption on the earth after its reformation, right? Who will do that? The muhsinin. So then, those who do good, and instead of committing sins, they're focused on doing good things that are pleasing to Allah, then the more ihsan a person does, the closer Allah's mercy is to them. Relief is near. And this also teaches us an important lesson, that as we make dua, we must also increase in ihsan to receive the mercy of Allah. You want something to happen. You want some change. And you're calling upon Allah. You're making dua. And that, of course, you must do. And along with dua, you should also do ihsan. Because in a hadith we learn that as long as a slave is in the aid of his brother, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help him. Meaning you help others, Allah will help you. الرحمون يرحمهم الرحمن ارحموا من في الأرض يرحمكم من في السماء. Those who show mercy to others, then الرحمن, the most merciful, shows mercy to them. Show mercy to those on the earth, and the one in the heavens is going to show mercy to you. So إن رحمة الله قريب من المحسنين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that وَابْتَغُوا إِلَيْهِ الْوَسِيلَةِ, that seek the means of nearness to Allah. Meaning when you call upon Allah, then also do something through which you will draw close to Allah. So for example, you want to be healed from a certain health condition. You want to see certain changes in your life. You want increase in rizq. You want a trial to be turned away in your life or in your community or in the ummah. Then what should you do? Make dua, and along with that, increase in ihsan. What good deed, especially voluntary good deed, can you do privately in order to draw close to Allah? In order that with Allah's mercy, your du'as are accepted and the bala, the trials that are upon the ummah, are turned away. This is something that we all need to reflect on. It could be, for example, praying salatul duha regularly. Or it could be giving sadaqah regularly. It could be reciting a certain portion of the Quran regularly. It could be sending salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam regularly. What voluntary deed are you going to begin in your life, and you're going to keep it private between you and your Lord as you call upon Allah, so that the bala, the trials that are upon the Muslims, are turned away? There is a narration in which we learn, Hasan al-Basri said, that there are three types of people who recite the Quran. He said that the first is the one who recites the Qur'an and makes the Qur'an into trade goods. Meaning for him, the recitation of the Qur'an is like a business. He goes from city to city, you know, recites before people, and they pay him. So it's just a business for him. Second, he who recites the Qur'an and insists on its recitation and letters, meaning on the perfect recitation, but neglects its set limits. All right? Meaning focuses on perfect recitation and ignores the actual commands that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given in the Quran. Subhanallah. And sadly, this is also very common today, that the entire focus is on perfect recitation. And when it comes to the actual commands that Allah has given, people don't learn them, people don't understand them, people don't follow them. And he said the third is the person who recites the Quran, stays up in the night, meaning reciting the Qur'an, remains thirsty in the day, meaning fasts in the day, controls his wishes because of it, meaning he has temptations, but he stops himself because of what he learns in the Qur'an. He said, such people sit on their knees. Why would a person sit on his knees? Meaning in humility, in worship, remaining in their places of worship. And because of them, Allah keeps our enemies away from us. Because of them, Allah sends rain on us. You understand? I hope you understand what I'm trying to communicate over here. Hasan al-Basri is teaching us that there are different types of people who read the Quran. Some people make the Quran into a business. Some people read the Quran as if it were a song. Just perfecting its pronunciation, its words, its recitation, that's it. And then there are others who recite the Quran a lot, in the night, in the day, who sacrifice so many other things. Why? For the sake of the Book of Allah. And they don't just study the Book of Allah because they want to graduate from a certain program. No, they remain in their places of worship. They recite the Quran, they call upon Allah. And this is something concealed between them and Allah. Only Allah knows how much they recite and how much they call upon Allah. And it is because of such people that Allah keeps our enemies away from us. أُدْعُوا رَبَّكُمْ تَضَرُّعًا وَخُفْيَةً إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُعْتَدِينَ وَلَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ بَعْدَ إِصْلَاحِهَا وَادْعُوهُ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا Then إِنَّ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ مِّنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ We all need to do something. we all need to make drastic changes in our lives, especially when it comes to voluntary acts of worship. We really need to increase them. Ask yourself, what are you going to do? And commit to it. And what you do in secret, what you do with sincerity, what you do along with your dua, this is something that is not just going to benefit you, it's going to benefit the ummah. إِنَّ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ مِّنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. We need to increase in our ihsan. You see, in the previous ayah, Allah says, إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُعْتَدِينَ. Here Allah tells us about muhsineen. Mu'tadeen are those who transgress. Muhsineen are those who do ihsan. So one way is of ihsan and the other is of i'tida. So what are some etiquette of dua that we can learn from these verses? First of all, ikhlas. Right? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, udu'u rabbakum. Call upon your Lord, meaning only your Lord. And then call upon Allah, second, with humility. Third, in private. Also meaning, number four, softly, not loudly. Respectfully, right? Then, number five and six, خوفاً وطمعاً, with fear and with hope. In hadith, we also learn about raising your hands while making dua, right? We also learn about beginning dua with praise and glorification of Allah, sending salawat in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, praying with hope, praying with humility, praying with insistence, as in repeat, because in a hadith, we learned that whoever asks Allah for Jannah three times, then what happens? Jannah says, O Allah, admit him into Jannah. So call upon Allah, meaning repeat your request. But avoid tasannur and takalluf. Tasannur and takalluf is like basically making the dua very wordy and just focusing on the rhyme. And yes, it sounds beautiful, but that should not be the only focus. And make dua in comprehensive words, the way that the Prophet ﷺ did and the way that he showed. And call upon Allah by his names, making them a wasila. Follow up your dua with good deeds, or before dua, do something good, and you connect your dua with righteous action. And when you see Musa ﷺ's story, for example, Musa ﷺ ends up in Madian with nothing in his hands, no home, no job, no food, and he sees two women who are in need, he helps them, and then he makes dua, رَبِّ إِنِّي لِمَا أَنزَلْتَ إِلَيَّ مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَقِيرٍ. And what happened? He gets not only food, but he gets a job, he gets a home, he gets a family, he gets job security. SubhanAllah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَهُوَ الَّذِي يُرْسِلُ الرِّيَاحَ بُشْرًا بَيْنَ يَدَيْ رَحْمَتِهِ. And he is the one who sends the winds. الرِّيَاح, plural of رِيح. He sends the winds as what? Bushran, as good news. Bushran, this is the plural of the word bashir. And bashir means bringer of good news. All right? So winds bring good news. Bayna yaday rahmati, before his mercy. And what is the good news that the winds bring? Of rain. The good news of rain, that rain is coming. And that is what? Rahmati refers to. Rahma here means rain. That before the rain comes, the wind blows. And when the wind blows, the temperature changes and the weather becomes pleasant. That itself is a source of joy. That itself brings a coolness and a comfort to the heart. And right after that comes rain, which brings even more mercy. SubhanAllah. So look at the favor of Allah, that before even he sends rain, he sends good news. And that is how many blessings are in the world. That before the blessing arrives, there is a period of anticipation and hope. Because you believe in the promise of Allah. You hope that very soon the promise will be fulfilled. And that time of anticipation, what does it do? It helps you draw even closer to Allah. It helps you place your trust even more in Allah. In Surah Ar-Rum, ayah 46, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ يُرْسِلَ الرِّيَاحَ مُبَشِّرَاتٍ. It is of his signs that he sends the winds as bearers of good news. In Surah Ash-Shura, ayah 28, وَهُوَ الَّذِي يُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا قَنَطُوا وَيَنْشُرُ رَحْمَتَهُ وَهُوَ الْوَلِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ. He is the one who sends down rain, the much needed rain, after the people had despaired. SubhanAllah. And after a long time had passed, and people began to think that now there will be no rain. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down that rain. And He spreads His mercy. He is al-wali, the friend, al-hamid, the praiseworthy. So rain is mercy from Allah. And the rain that Allah sends is mercy also because it is blessed. In Surah Qaf, Ayah 9, Allah says, وَنَزَّلْنَا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً مُبَارَكًا. We sent down from the sky blessed water. Subhanallah. So وَهُوَ الَّذِي يُرْسِلُ الرِّيَاحَ بُشْرًا بَيْنَ يَدَيْ رَحْمَتِهِ. And as the winds blow, what happens? حَتَّى إِذَا أَقَلَّتْ سَحَابًا ثِقَالًا. Until they have carried heavy rain clouds. أَقَلَّتْ أَقَلَّهُ قَافْ لَمْ لَمْ is basically to find something قليل and carry it. Okay? Any to easily carry something. Why? Because it's so little for you. Right? Like for example, a little child, for him, carrying a bag is a big deal. But for you, you can carry it, you can hold it literally by one finger. Right? So the winds are able to easily carry sahaban thiqalan, heavy clouds. Thiqal, plural of thaqil. Thaqil meaning heavy. And subhanAllah, these clouds are truly very heavy with all the water that they're carrying, right? That's going to fall down from there as rain or as snow or as hail. And subhanAllah, every time that I clear out the snow from somewhere, whether it's the car or the driveway, I think about how heavy the snow is and how this heavy snow has fallen down from where? From the sky. And how was this water, the snow, all of this with all of its weight suspended in the air, being carried by winds, being transported from one place to the other, and how easily the winds carry them. حَتَّى إِذَا أَقَلَّتْ سَحَابًا ثِقَالًا. They carry heavy clouds. And then سُقْنَاهُ لِبَلَدٍ مَيِّتٍ. We drive it, meaning those heavy clouds, to بَلَدٍ مَيِّتٍ, to a dead land. How could land be dead? Because there's nothing growing on it. It's completely dry. There's no plants. There's no insects, no birds, no flowers, no color, no life. But then, when these heavy clouds come and they pour down their water, their rain, فَأَنْزَلْنَا بِهِ الْمَاءِ, and we sent down through it, meaning through those heavy clouds, الماء, the water, meaning the rain, what happens? Or bihi can also mean to it, meaning to the dead land. We sent down the water. فَأَخْرَجْنَا بِهِ مِنْ كُلِّ ثَمَرَاتِ. We bring out through that rainwater every kind of fruit. That same piece of land that was dead, desolate, empty, barren, no color, no moving creature on it, gets filled with plants and greenery and flowers, and which turn into fruit. مِنْ كُلِّ ثَمَرَاتِ. Subhanallah. كَذَلِكَ نُخْرِجُ الْمَوْتَى. Thus do we bring out the dead. Plural of mayyit. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. So that you take heed. Allahu Akbar. And just as you see dead land transform into a thriving place that is filled with different forms of life, different forms of food, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to bring the dead from the earth. In Surah Al-Hajj, Ayah 63, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَنزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فَتُصْبِحُ الْأَرْضُ مُخْضَرَّةً. Do you not see that Allah sends down water from the sky and the earth turns green? In Surah Al-An'am, Ayah 99 also, we have learned, وَهُوَ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فَأَخْرَجْنَا بِهِ نَبَاتَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. All types of plants come forth. So just as the dead earth is revived, Allah will bring the dead out of the earth and will revive them. In Surah Az-Zukhruf, Ayah 11, وَالَّذِي نَزَّلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً بِقَدَرٍ فَأَنْشَرْنَا بِهِ بَلْدَةً مَيْتًا كَذَلِكَ تُخْرَجُونَ. Thus you will be brought out. In the same way, in Surah Fatir, Ayah 9, كَذَلِكَ النُّشُورِ. Thus is the resurrection. In Surah Nuh, Ayah 17, وَاللَّهُ أَنْبَتَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ نَبَاتًا. Allah has caused you to grow from the earth a progressive growth. And then ثُمَّ يُعِيدُكُمْ فِيهَا وَيُخْرِجُكُمْ إِخْرَاجًا. Then he will return you into it and will bring you out another time. So just as plants grow from the earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring you out of the earth. So take heed, take lesson. وَالْبَلَدُ الطَّيِّبُ. And the good land. الطَّيِّبُ meaning that which is good, that which is clean, that which is pure, that which is fertile, unpolluted. What happens to it? When rain falls on it, يَخْرُجُ نَبَاتُهُ بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِ. Its plants come forth by the permission of its Lord. Here we see that there are two types of land. Okay? The first type is al-baladu al-tayyib, and the second is wal-ladhi khabutha, and the one which is bad. Okay, so one land is fertile and the other is bad. Why is it bad? Because it's very sandy. It doesn't have, you know, nutrients in it that make it fertile. So the rain that falls is the same. Okay, but one piece of land, because it is good, it produces its nabat. It produces its vegetation. But the other land, because it is bad, la yakhruju illa nakida. When the same rain falls on it, nothing comes out except nakid. Nakid means two things. Okay. First, it means scanty, meaning hardly anything. Very little. Very little growth. What happens to al-balad al-tayyib? It becomes filled with foliage. Right? Its plants grow quickly, big, tall, lots of flowers, lots of fruit. And what happens to alladhi khabutha? It grows something, but barely anything. You see a little here, a little there, small plants, one or two tomatoes, maybe a cucumber or two, not much, hardly anything. Or nakid means with difficulty. Okay? Any, it almost did not grow anything because of its bad quality. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَذَلِكَ نُصَرِّفُ الْآيَاتِ لِقَوْمٍ يَشْكُرُونَ. Thus do we diversify the signs for people who are grateful. Meaning, reflect on this. Take lessons so that you can be grateful. And really, this is something to reflect on, that the water is the same, but based on the nature, the quality of the soil, the produce varies, right? If you have, for example, in a garden, an area that is given good fertilizer, right? The soil is good. It's filled with good nutrients. Then what happens? The growth is very good. But if you have right next to it a slab of concrete, nothing's going to grow on it, right? Or if you have soil that is basically clay now, right? And it is very dry, very hard. It doesn't have much nutrients in it. Then what's going to happen? Hardly anything will grow. Sometimes, and because of the presence of certain other plants, like for example, if you have pine trees and the pine needles continue to fall on the ground, then the ground can become very acidic. And because of that, not even grass can grow. So the rain is blessed, but depending on the nature of the soil, the results will vary. And this is how the hearts of people are. Okay, the rain is the guidance, the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down. And in a hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned this. The example of the guidance and knowledge that Allah has sent down is like that of rain that falls on land, some of which was fertile, all right? And the fertile land, what does it do? It absorbs the rainwater and it brings forth its vegetation and grass in abundance. But then the rain also falls on another portion of land, which is hard. So it does not absorb the water. What does it do? It just holds the rainwater. The rainwater stands on it. But because the rainwater stands on it, what happens? Animals are able to drink it. People are able to benefit from it, right? Until eventually the water becomes stagnant and, you know, really bad. And then it's of no use. In fact, it can be harmful because it becomes a place where, you know, mosquitoes, etc., they can really get out of control. But then there is another type of land which neither absorbs the water nor does it hold it. What happens to the water? It just flows off of its surface. Okay? So the Prophet ﷺ said that the first is the example of the person who believes, right, who understands Allah's religion, benefits from the knowledge, and then also benefits others. Okay? Because it absorbs the water and it grows vegetation, right, which people benefit from. The second is the person who does not benefit himself, does not absorb the water. What does he do? Just holds the water. So yes, other people are able to benefit. And the last example is of the person who does not care about the revelation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent, does not benefit from it at all, does not remember it, does not pass it on, nothing. كَذَلِكَ نُصَرِّفُ الْآيَاتِ لِقَوْمِ يَشْكُرُونَ. Thus do we diversify the signs for people who are grateful. Meaning, those who are grateful for the blessings of Allah, what do? They use the blessings of Allah, they take them, they absorb them, they benefit from them, and they also benefit others. And of the greatest blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given is revelation and guidance. So are we going to be grateful for these blessings? Are we going to internalize it and benefit from it and benefit others through it? Let's listen to the recitation of these verses.
إِنَّ رَبَّكُمُ اللَّهُ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ يُغْشِي اللَّيْلَ النَّهَارَ يَطْلُبُهُ حَثِيثًا والشمس والقمر والنجوم مسخرات بأمره ألا له الخلق والأمر تبارك الله رب العالمين ادعوا ربكم تضرعا وخفية إنه لا يحب المعتدين ولا تفسدوا في الأرض بعد إصلاحها وادعوه خوفا وطمعا إن رحمة الله قريب من المحسنين وهو الذي يرسل الرياح بشرا بين يدي رحمته حتى إذا أقلت سحابا ثقالا سقناه لبلد ميت فأنزلنا به الماء فأخرجنا به من كل الثمرات كذلك نخرج الموتى لعلكم تذكرون والبلد الطيب يخرج نباته بإذن ربه والذي خبث لا يخرج إلا نكدا كذلك نصرف الآيات لقوم يشكرون